Blog Talk Radio.
I'll be a lyrical princess. This isn't make-believe, so bad onto your highness. Heads up, cause this hook is gonna be the illest. Making billions, gonna be on the top of the world. Chillin', just relaxing, sipping on a room temperature beer, laughing. Get the big stage, cause my plane just landed.
This is just how I feel, so take me for what I am. You're thinking, is this for real?
For real?
Wanna blow a leak, it gotta keep it under till it's ready to recap it. Open your ears and be aware of what you're taking in. Bring it to the top and let it take you to that special place. Ready to receive and let your mind advocate all of the memories you want to accommodate.
This is just how I feel, so take me for what I am. You're thinking, is this for real?
For real?
Okay, everybody, welcome to Van City. This is your host, Andrea Morel. Oh my gosh, it is Monday. And everybody knows Mondays is Vampire Mondays. So I want to definitely welcome everybody to Van City. Our regular time is 12 a.m. We're usually on at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Dollhouse Radio. But tonight we're going to go live. Of course, we went live at 11:30. But make sure you put in your calendar. From here and now on, we will be on at 12 a.m. It was my mistake tonight, and I told my cast members to 11:30. I don't know why, but it was definitely supposed to be 12. So anyways, we're here early. I'm super excited to be here with you guys tonight. And we have a great show planned tonight. We got crazy topics. A lot of stuff is going on, and we're going to talk about it tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in my co-host. We have Timer, we have Cobra, we have James Acevedo. We have everybody is with us tonight. All my vampires are on. So I definitely want to welcome my cast members, my vampires, the Vamp City crew. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey. Hola.
Hey.
Yeah. Hola, hola, hey.
Good.
Hey, yeah. Guys.
Yeah, where's Cobra?
I'm right here as always.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And where's Timer?
Right here.
Yay.
Right here.
I got all the heat tires, so I'm
the
super excited tonight.
The coolest of the cool is in school. All right. Now
yes. So how was you guys' weekend? I mean, it was All-Star weekend, and I know all the guys and, you know, girls like basketball, I do. Everybody was watching the All-Star games and activities for the weekend. Did you guys enjoy it this year? Because I know the West Coast, our West team won. So I definitely wanted to say West.
Go exhibition, okay.
Oh, don't get jealous. Hey. Don't hate.
It doesn't matter. The best part it was with the introduction. That was it.
I didn't watch none of it, you know. I really don't get into the All-Star.
you know, I'm waiting for the final playoff. For real.
Playoff. Yes.
Yes.
I won't know what that is this year, that's for sure. Not with my team.
Right. Right. I root for the Knicks myself, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about.
I'm a Melo fan, and of course I'm definitely a Phil Jackson fan, you know.
There you go.
So
there you go.
It is what it is.
Yeah, my team might see it. My team might see it. I'm a Chicago fan.
Okay.
So
Chicago
ain't had
D-Rose looking good.
Championship since Jordan was on the team. Anyway.
Hey, at least we show up. We show up.
Got taken.
Oh, yeah,
got
I can't hate on them. I like
the Lakers suck too, so that makes you feel a little better. So.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Hey. We don't have a team in St. Louis, so I really don't, you know. Hey, moving on.
The slam dunk contests are pretty good, though.
The Levine.
Yeah, they're always good. I was a little disappointed this year because, honestly, I wasn't really impressed with it. But, I mean, it was all right. Mm. Like, the little white thing guy won, he was all right, you know.
I was excited. The most exciting thing happened to me today, so I was excited, period. They made my weekend fantastic. Came in my store today. Guess who came in my store today and bought a piece of jewelry from me?
Ooh, I like this game. Let me think about it. Okay. Who came in this store? Somebody famous.
Indian
sport.
His name came in the store.
Indian sport.
Wes Craven came in my store today.
Ooh, Wes Craven.
Oh, wow.
Oh, perfect for Bam City.
Yep, he was an awesome guy. Awesome guy. It was just real cool just to meet somebody like that.
Nice.
Wow.
Was Freddy with him?
Yes.
Big shout
for
out
real?
To
that's
the
man
who
is craving.
Yeah.
Well,
horror
we're going to move on to our vampire news.
Yes.
We talked about this last week. There has been a lot of activity where people are, like, just really it's a high rate of people that are basically doing murder-suicides. And I keep seeing this. We just talked about this last week. Just this week, I've seen more murder-suicides where people are killing their families, where they're killing their families, but they're not killing themselves. I do not understand this. I do not understand what's going on, what energies are out here in this universe right now, but it is super scary because what would make somebody so demented that you would turn on your family and then kill yourself? I mean, I don't get it. You guys, can you explain? Because we talked about this last week, but yet there's been another case of somebody killing their whole entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Man. It's crazy.
Well, it's biblical. It says that families don't have that natural love for each other. That's biblical. And that's what's happening. See? You've seen it happening live, especially, I mean, men, we're really tripping on men killing wives, children, everything. Then themselves, that's that no natural affection. This is, like I said, last days, people, look in the Bible, it's biblical, it's happening.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I just think it's kind of weird that each week goes by, now it's kind of like the normal. It's normal. That you're hearing, it's like almost that, remember when you used to hear about somebody like doing something like that, you're like, oh my gosh, now it's getting to the point where you're just like, oh, again, like, and that's not okay with me, because it's very disturbing. There was a person in LA, a father, I don't even want to call him a father, he's a piece of S, okay, he basically killed his, I'm not sure how, I think she was 3 months old. And he basically threw her into a lake or whatever. He didn't want her. God. He threw her, the baby, and she was crying. And just threw her. And I just think when you think of stuff like that, like, wow, if you didn't want your child, you know, or if you were mad at the mother, somebody could have took that child. Why did you take it from the mother anyway? And I just think that, man, like, it's just like, why do these people get to have kids? Why do these people get blessed to have children? When there are so many other good parents out there who would adore and love their children. And I think that if you are one of those people who don't like kids, then you shouldn't have kids. If you have issues, if you're bipolar, you should not have kids. Yeah. Like, for real. I'm serious. Like, it's scary nowadays.
Well, I think they should be like China. You got to apply for an application to have kids.
Absolutely.
You have to apply for an application to have a child.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because do some mental work on you and see if you're able mentally, emotionally, and financially to handle having a child. Or I just read an article not even a few minutes ago about the woman that set her kids on fire, then called the father of them so he can hear them burn alive.
Right.
Hear the kids burn alive.
Hell?
You know, it's just crazy.
That ain't no demonic ish. I don't know what is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Damn. Mm. Disturbing people.
That's really disturbing.
Yeah,
Raven would have thought of that. I don't know. That's horrible.
Yep.
Also, in vampire news, I want to talk about Mr. Jenner, Mr. Bruce Jenner. As you guys all know by now, he's going through some type of woman change. And I don't know. It's his business or whatever he wants to do, and I don't care. But I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah,
I think it needs to be addressed.
Yes.
I feel that it's a lot of that going on, too, where it's a lot of this in your face. Remember back in the days, if you was gay, you was gay, right? And you did your thing on your own. Nowadays, it seems like a lot of stuff is being pushed in your face on purpose. And I just think that these children that are growing up these days, they're going to be really confused. Because nowadays, you see women that are not women, but they got on heels and they're men with bald heads. It's just so freaking confusing. Like, really.
Give them
no,
options.
I'm serious.
Give
them
yeah,
and I don't have
crazy.
A problem with the gay guys because I love my gays. Everybody knows I love my gays. I have no problem with my gay guys. But I truly think that it's a lot of stuff that young children can't understand and digest.
Right.
That we can't.
Right.
It's things that we can look at and say, oh, we respect it because I love my gay community. But I think that when you're on TV and you're doing this big documentary on why you're going to have breasts and
bingo,
you know,
bingo.
Come on now, really?
Bingo.
I don't know.
Bingo.
I don't know.
I'm thinking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I see. I think cynical most of the time. Anyway, I think this is deep. Where I think it's past that he's had these thoughts all the time. I think it's because, you know, to be. We put in the public eye. That's what it sounds like to me. It's just weird. I don't know. Just strange. Because okay, nowadays, if you say you're gay, whatever, what's the big deal? I mean, I'm not saying it's not a big deal. I'm saying like, because it's very hard for a person to hide that, you know, to be in the closet all that time. But what I'm saying is, we live in a day now where you know it shouldn't be a big deal. All right, so you're gay, but the way it's being. The way he's doing it, I always felt weird from the moment it came out because it was just strange to me. I don't know, especially maybe because of the Kardashian family. I don't know, probably another reason why, but it's just, I don't know, I just feel different about it. It's
well, you know. I'm gonna be real with you how I feel. There's two things I feel about this. It's a sense of perversion that's coming over a lot of this situation. I don't know if you all get that feeling. And also, it's a way to emasculate the man. You took one of the well-known, I mean, men's men, and now he wants to be a woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's like literally Mike Tyson tomorrow saying, I want some breasts.
Oh, boy.
You know? You know
and who will stop him? And who will stop him?
Exactly. Exactly. But it's to me, it's like on a level of emasculation. You hear it's called an Olympic gold medalist, Bruce Jenner. He was on every Wheaties box when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Now this dude want to be a woman. You know?
I'm telling you, it's weird.
So,
it is.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It is definitely weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah.
Moving on in more vampire news.
Oh, my God.
A man in Florida basically shoots himself, number one. But before he shot himself, he went to reconcile with an ex-girlfriend that had broken up with him. And the girl didn't want to take him back, so he killed her, and then he killed himself.
Douchebag.
I just think that once again, here we go. You get what I'm saying? Here we go. More people in the news that are crazy. It's just a high volume of crazy going on right now. It's a lot of bad
high volume of crazy
out here in this universe right now. It's a lot of high negative volumes of negative energies just out there. And it's super crazy to the point where you, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people want to avoid it and stay in. They want to stay in the house because they're scared to go outside because there's so much going on. You don't know if you're going to make it back home these days, you know?
It almost feels like it's contagious.
Yes, I want to say to that, you know, you got measles going on, you got Ebola somewhat. I mean, it's all kind of stuff. It's just so much. But, you know, I definitely want to say that, you know, I don't think you should live your life in a bubble where you're scared of everything.
Exactly.
And some things you just got to just go with the flow of it, of, you know, trying your best to be alert of what's going on. That's the only thing you could do. Just be alert. Have your eyes open and paying attention. But don't live your life in a bubble where you're scared of everything, because I think that's definitely not the right way to go either, you know.
It's a new strand of HIV they were talking about on the news. It's a new strand of HIV.
Wow.
Oh, no. Does Magic Johnson know about this?
A new strand. They were just talking about it on the news. I just saw the news. Rather than it's advanced and it's kind of like adapting to the treatments, and rather than it's taking a full blown HIV going into 7 to 10 years, it's happening in 2 to 3 years. Full blown. It's pretty much adapted to the treatments they have. So they're trying to find new treatment. It's spreading all through Africa and parts of Cuba now. So.
Gee, what a coincidence.
Wow. Well, that means you better wrap it
Africa.
Up.
Interesting.
Wrap it up, guys. Yes, we wrap it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. It's so much stuff going on in the news. So much stuff, crazy things that are going on. I definitely want to say we have crazy topics tonight. We're gonna do some talk about my book and the paranormal stuff that went on and that I wrote about in my book, Infamous. Also, we're going to talk about fallen angels. That is the topic also tonight, okay? So it's going to be fun. I'm super excited. Let's get into the topics. We're going to start with fallen angels. So, guys, we had a discussion about, we had two great topics last week. And at the end of the show, I announced that we're going to be talking about fallen angels, okay, which I do every week. I announce a new topic. What did you get, Cobra? What is your whole, like, definition of? Explain to people who don't know what a fallen angel is.
From what my research brought to me, fallen angels are ones who were literally expelled from heaven. Back to the aspect of the Noah era, they left their position. Noah and started taking on the women. And once they took on the women, they tried to go back home during the flood. God expelled them from their position. And that's the commission of falling from grace, or falling from God's grace. And that's what I pretty much got the fallen angels were.
Wait, I can barely hear you.
Check your mic, Kobe.
Yeah.
Check your mic.
My mic sounds nice.
Hear me now?
Check one. Okay.
Yeah.
I say what I got was literally the falling from grace, from God's presence.
Right.
When they left their position from heaven to deal with the women on earth during the Noah era, when the flood came, they went to go back home, and God expelled them from being in his grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get the statement, falling angels from.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people talk about the Nephilim. A lot of people, they confuse a lot of this. Because a lot of people are. Now, you also have something that's called the Watchers. Now, the fallen angels, Nephilim, I think. Now, can we bunch all these people? I mean, these things, wherever they are, entities, fallen angels, can we put these all in the same category? Because the Watchers, from my understanding, is totally different from the Nephilim. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the same as a fallen angel, right?
Good question.
You got
me. Okay, did I say something that you guys... Okay, Because I know a lot of people.
Rewind.
Right. Okay, let me say it again. You have the Watchers. You have something that you a group of things, whatever they are. Which are called the Watchers, which from my understanding are totally different from Falling Angels. They're totally different. Then you have the Nephilim, which are the Falling Angels. It's just a different name. But I know when certain people talk about them, they talk about, you know, like the Falling Angels are different from the Nephilim. But I think that the Watchers are different and the Falling Angels are the same as the Nephilim. So, because the Nephilim is the same thing as the Fallen Angels because they're the ones who fell from heaven. And they got basically kicked out of heaven. Well, actually, the devil got kicked out of heaven, and they followed him. So, and they came to earth and basically made it with the women, with the women of the earth. And what my understanding is, like, if you guys are into any of the movies, Poseidon, Percy Jackson? Percy Jackson. If you watched any of that, it's kind of like what they're trying to do in the movie, if you notice, because they made it. Poseidon and his brothers from Hades and, Zeus, they were supposed to have been like, you know, these gods. And they basically came down and they made it with the human girls. So they basically had half-breeds. So these half-breeds basically was half like human and half gods.
Demigods.
Right, demigods. So you basically, in my interpretation of it, it was somewhat like the fallen angels. You get what I'm saying?
Well,
but they were
well,
doing something else. Yeah.
Well, from what I researched, the religion of the Greek mythology was based on the fallen angels. Zeus and them were angels that took positions in another as gods to other people. That's what the way I understood it. You know, and the thing about it is, it's like you said, the Nephilim and the fallen angels are the same things. The Watchers are separate entities. I don't know even what to call that. But the angels themselves, they go by many names. They go by a lot of them come from what I researched, and this is honestly what I researched. They go by from different religion aspects. They've made themselves gods to men on earth. They used to be part of the Egyptian gods like Ra and all those type of things were fallen angels. Zeus and all them were fallen angels representing themselves as angels or gods to people. You know, but they all just angels that really was banished from heaven, basically.
Right. When you guys get time, just go look it up. Go look up the Watchers because the Watchers are, it's a totally, and maybe that's something I should have added, but I did some research and, you know, they're totally different. It's totally different. And, but like, it's a lot of information out there about the Nephilim. I definitely know that, you know, if we want to go back to Noah, like if you go back into Noah, what happened with Noah and the Ark when God told him to create the Ark, that basically he was, you know, he needed him to put the animals and his family, get on the Ark, just build it and get on it, right? And when that disaster happened, when the flood came, from that time, from my understanding, how the story goes, basically, God was trying to wipe out these fallen angels, because they basically came down and they were like, you know, they were not supposed to be mixing, and that's why the first flood happened, because you know it wasn't pure, it wasn't supposed to happen, so they were all wiped out, and then some because go ahead, what were you gonna say?
I say he was also from the homework you gave me. He was wiping out their children, the angels' children, were the ones he was trying to get rid of. You know, because they were unnatural, abnormal, huge children. These huge, like, gigantic people.
Right. It's almost like an abomination of, you know, you weren't supposed to be, you know, right. mating with certain, you. I mean, you, they were not supposed to be mating with the women of the earth, I mean, number one, and they did. And they were trying to, like, you know, make their breed, keep their breed alive. And they, you know, and I mean, of course, from my understanding, the women were attracted. They were attracted to the women, put it like that. So when they came down, they was attracted to the women, and they, you know, they did their thing. I also did some research, and, I mean, it gets kind of deep. Like, it just depends on how deep you get into it. But some mm-hmm. of these children actually were some of the people you call giants. Like, the giants back in the day, some of these kids came out super tall. Like, they were really, like, I mean, to the point where if you do research like these, they well, I don't even want to say super tall because they were giants. They found, like, you know, when you look at some of the documentaries on the History Channel, and they find bones of these huge, like, people. I mean, they are. They are people because they were alive at that time, but they found bones. And they were saying, I watched something, they were saying that it was some of these kids came out because of the, you know, the fallen angels. Some of them, they were definitely tall. So when they made it, these kids were tall too. Like, you know, they were half breed, and they, some of them came out like that too. I mean, it's just really like a lot. And I think that it's a really interesting topic because you can go mm-hmm. on and on about the topic. I mean, it's so much information out there. To discuss and really, like, you know, depend on how far you want to go and down that rabbit hole. But I just think that is a interesting story because if you listen to certain people, some people would tell you a different story of why Satan was kicked out of heaven. And then you have other people, like, you know, because I go by the Bible, so, of course, I know the story, how it went. But then you have other mm-hmm. people who debate, you know, like, you know, what happened and why he was kicked out. But we all know the infamous story of why he got kicked out. You know, he wanted to be so much like God mm-hmm. that, you know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, if he could probably, he would probably want to take his place, right? That's what he wants. So it's like, you know, to the point where it's like jealousy. Like, you want to mm-hmm. be so much like somebody and you want everything they have. And it wasn't room for two of them. Like, you get what I'm saying? There's only one guy. And, you know, I don't know. He was one of the, you know, main angels. And when he mm-hmm. left, you know, because he was one of the main angels, that means when people follow him, the other angels follow. That meant he had some type of impression on these other beings. You get what I'm saying? Some type of, like, where they will follow him. So, I mean, because there was a lot of them who followed him, you know. And then it was others who actually got kicked out after him, too. Like, some who didn't follow, but they did get kicked out, too, at the end. But, I mean, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was like you were saying, how many followed him. You know, you look into the Bible, and like I said, I'm a Bible reader, too. To say he took a third of the heavens. That's a lot of angels. That's a lot. You know, you don't know how many angels are in heaven, but you say a third of it? That's a lot of people that really thought highly of him.
That's why I said, what type of, you know, like this, he had to have some type of, not relationship.
Hierarchy.
Right, with these, I mean, he was one of the top angels. So he had some type of influence. Where these beings will follow him. They would go against God to follow him. You get what I'm saying? And they will risk that. And, you know, and I just think that story alone, and has there been a movie about that? Like, I haven't even seen nothing like that.
Yes,
there has to be
something like that.
Not really.
There's a movie with Christopher Walken called The Prophecy.
Right.
Where he played an angel that supposedly left his position, Gabriel, who was challenging God and the love for God. And in one of the movies, the first movie, it literally Satan told him, it can't be two of us. It can't be two of us challenging God. And it was a point that even at one point in the movie, Satan helped the human beings to get rid of Gabriel. Because he said, you can't challenge me and challenge God. You got to choose a side.
Yep. Pick
right,
them.
Right. Now, if we want to go to the Book of Enoch, I'm not sure if anybody read the Book of Enoch. If you go and if you look in the Book of Enoch, when the Book of Enoch brings up the Watchers, their definition of the Watchers are the angels who are dispatched to Earth, which happened. But it's a little different from the ones who follow Satan. These angels were actually dispatched to Earth to watch over the humans, okay, and make sure that they were doing what they was, you know, they were okay and just, you know, whatever their mission was. But basically, they started to lust over the women too. And they, you see what I'm saying? And they were mating, and they made it with the women too. So that's why I say the Watchers are totally different from the fallen angels. Because the fallen angels, actually, they fall, you know, they fell from heaven when they, you know, followed Satan. But the Watchers, they were actually dispatched from heaven. And they were sent to watch over, but they end up doing the same thing. You get what I'm saying? They ended
got
up
distracted
mating
in their position.
Right, exactly. So,
like a peep show.
So, and just to make it a little clear, like if we want to say like the Nephilim, how do you say it? The Nephilim. The Nephilim will be, honestly, will be the offspring of these fallen angels.
The fallen angels.
So when you read deeper into it, actually the Watchers are the angels who were dispatched from heaven to watch over the humans, okay? The fallen angels were the people who followed Satan from heaven once he got kicked down. Those were the fallen angels who fell too, right? And then the Nephilim were the offspring of the fallen angels. So just to kind of put that into context, because I'm actually researching while I'm live right here, and I'm looking at it now. So just to put it more clear of what these things, you know, in category of, you know, what they are, because it can get a little confusing. So, but yeah, the offspring of the humans are the Nephilim. So. Go ahead.
It was very interesting. I really enjoy researching it because it's such a deep and wide conversation piece with the angel aspect of it. And, you know, and because, you know, according to what I've researched, these angels literally took on bodies and came to Earth. They took on bodies and made themselves bodies to be with the women, you know. And like you said, we both, all of us have read the Bible, and literally God was like, oh, this is an abomination. When they brought the flood, they left their bodies and thinking they were going to go home. Everything was all good, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and that's where it became that type of challenge, because they were literally, according to the Bible, they were seduced by Satan with the women to leave their positions in heaven to come here. That's the way it was the way I researched it and the way it was found. They were seduced by it. And so they were led astray as well by their own brother.
Yeah. They lusted. You know? I mean.
Yes. The Book of Enoch, actually, they list 200 fallen angels who basically made it with these women, who married, too, with these women on Earth. So you can just imagine the offspring. And, I mean, if you think about it, I'm not sure because I didn't go down the rabbit hole that deep, but after the flood, some of them had to be alive still, right? I'm pretty sure somebody was alive. So, It's crazy.
Well, when I was researching, too, India, that they said some of the results of the DNA that was mixed in that time, you can see where you see these abnormally big people that be like 7'9", 8', and have genetic, they call genetic disease that growing. They said that is residuals of what happened with those angels with Nephilim. It got into the genetic codes, and every once in a while you'll see that where these people just won't stop growing. They be 8'9", like that Asian guy over in China. It's like 8'9", and he's still growing.
Right.
You know, so they say, so it was a scientist that said that, Dr. Franz, out of London say these are residuals of what biblically happened. You know,
right.
So I'm like, that was amazing.
Right. Wow. I just think that if anybody out there, if you guys, if you're interested in this topic, go do the research for yourself. Kind of just go and, you know, just pull it up. And I love it. I love that, you know, everybody gets something different out of it or, you know, present. Because on this topic, honestly, I'm kind of like, it's not my specialty. So, like, you know, I'm learning a lot of stuff. I'm sitting here with my laptop up and actually I'm reading and looking and seeing a lot of stuff that I didn't see earlier. So definitely go do your research. And it's a few documentaries on these topics. So I definitely encourage you guys to, you know, just do your own little research for it. Let me see. Okay, Timer, what did you get out of it?
Man, I'm just, I mean, this is just completely, it's crazy, you know, just, I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, you guys have pretty much covered all the bases on what I see, but. Man, I mean, like you were just saying, you know, I'm seeing stuff now while you all are talking, you know, that I didn't see it personally. I'm like, wow, this is interesting. Just shut my mouth wide open. I mean, you guys have covered pretty much everything I was going to say at first. Right now, I'm sitting here reading some stuff myself in pure amazement, you know. Seriously, I don't even know what to say right now. This is crazy. So, I mean, the thing about the Watchers is, like I said, it's kind of like a peep show thing, you know what I'm saying, to a point where, you know, yeah, the devil won the war as far as getting them to lust over the human women. And then at a point, you know, lust is a sin, therefore, you know what I'm saying, it just messed up the whole balance of the project. It's a crazy, I mean, this stuff is just so mind-boggling where some words stand out and some words are just hard to wrap your mind around, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the documentaries, especially, like, if it's a lot, like, I love reading, but for some reason the documentaries are very, like, explanatory, and it's, like, I like the visual, too, so... Mm-hmm. I think I would encourage, like, anybody if you got time, if you want to research these topics, go to the documentaries. They have a lot of stuff on YouTube. And I think that, you know, or just put it in Google and just Google it and just see what videos and documentaries they have out there. But I definitely think it's something worth looking at. I mean, because honestly, you guys, a lot of people, when it comes to, like, the Bible, and when you talk about, like, you know, the Bible and are we talking about the Book of Enoch or any of that, a lot of people have read the Bible, but a lot of people don't read the Bible. I mean, you've probably read it, but you don't understand it. And that's the whole purpose of when you go to church, your pastor's supposed to break stuff down in the Bible, but usually that don't happen because half his sermon's about money. And how
I was
going to
say,
he's
breaking down
right.
The collection plate. Exactly.
Exactly. But I think a lot of people read or they know scriptures from the Bible, but they don't understand. And in the Bible, they talk about this. They talk about this. You know, somebody said, well, no.
In the Bible.
What happened?
I said several references in the Bible to the Watchers and Daniels.
Right.
Enoch.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. There's several.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm like, you know, and I bet people are like, you know, I've never seen that, you know, because you never probably really read the Bible or nobody's really broke it down to you where you can understand it, because the Bible is one of those things that it can kind of twist you up. It's one of those movies, like when you see a movie, you got to like watch it 3-4 times before you get it. The Bible is kind of like that because it's not, like, if you're not somebody who just catch on or you see what God or, you know, whatever the story is, it will just go over your head. You just misunderstand everything. And I think a lot of people misunderstand a lot of stuff that's printed in the Bible. and you put, and everybody put their own words or whatever they want, and I think that's kind of crazy. Right, instead of really, like, breaking it down and understanding it or asking questions to understand what's going on.
But I definitely think this story,
huh?
Okay, well, also, it was interesting to me in the process of my research. It's referred in the Bible, but it's referred in the Kabbalah, the Quran, the Watchers.
No.
It's referred across in Arabic and various different holy books about the Watchers. So this is something that's going completely across religion. It's something that just hits in everybody's religion, referred in different ways. So it was interesting.
Yes. I mean, in different, you're right, the Kabbalah, the Zohar makes reference to the Watchers. I mean, it's crazy. It's a lot of, like, it's not just the the Christian Bible. So, you know, and I think that a lot of people look at, even when we talk about if we want to kind of transfer and go over to, because I brought up Poseidon and Hades and, Zeus earlier. A lot of people even look at that as mythology. Most people don't believe these things existed. And I think that, like, if you want to go deeper, most people don't even think that angels and God or the devil exist. And I just think that most people really look at all this as fairy tale and stories and mythology, and it's not mythology, you know. A lot of this stuff is true, you know. So, I mean, yeah, it is what it is, and I just think that people need to, like, you know, do your research and research. And if you don't know something, then ask somebody who studies that. And that's what their thing is, and they know, and they can help you, you know, like, explain more of what you're trying to figure out, you know. And more than anybody explaining and telling me and breaking something down, I'm more discerned, and I'm more open myself up where I can tell, like, okay, this is what this is. You know what I'm saying? I think some people are so blind that it be right in your face and you still don't get it. Like, you know, like, I just think some people don't get it. Some people don't get it. I don't know. So.
Maybe they will one day.
Anyways, what were you going to say?
I said I had a question because the way I was reading, it kind of threw me for a second that the fallen angels are also referred to in my research as the demons of Satan now. Is that the same aspect of it? The demons of Satan. They are sons that were former sons that have turned into demons now. That's
what I
found.
What is the word you're saying? The demons of who?
They say they're demons of Satan, or servants of Satan. They call them demons of Satan, or servants of Satan now. They were fallen angels that fell from the grace of God. Now they're under the servitude of Satan. They're referred to as demons now.
Yes, they would be. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm just making sure that was right. I was reading correctly.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
But, I mean, if you're not serving God, then who are you serving? So,
of course.
I mean, you know, and one thing I like to say, like, when you go, and religion is something we're never really going to go down that rabbit hole in on the show because it could get a little tricky. But one thing about religion I figured out, whether you're talking about Buddha, you're talking about God, you're talking about, if you want to say Jehovah, whatever you're talking about, most things kind of talk, it's just different names, or that Buddha is definitely not God, but, you know, if you want to say if he was a master or something, that's different, which is going to be our topic for next week. We're going to talk about the masters. I want to talk about masters because there are so many masters out there. And a lot of people are probably like, what are you talking about, India? It's a lot of masters.
Yeah,
one of our most famous masters was who?
Jesus.
Who? Thank you. Exactly. I definitely want to talk about that because I think so. Guys, take your notes. Don't ask me what the topic is. One of our main topics is some of the masters. I definitely want to talk about that.
M-A-S-T-E-R-L.
Oh, God. Right. But,
stars,
like, some people
stars,
with
circle,
debate
circle.
Certain stuff, they'll say, well, I'm Buddhist and I'm this and I'm that. And I think that it's only two sides of it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because one mm-hmm. side is positive, whether you're Buddhist, because Buddhism is not negative to me at all. It's
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm. No.
And it's either positive or it's negative.
True.
So
truly.
You get what I'm saying? You're either, which side are you on? And that's what it comes down to. So if
mm-hmm.
I, in my opinion, I respect all religions. I respect all religions because whatever you choose, that's what you chose. I have nothing to say about that. And what
mm-hmm.
I choose, that's my opinion, that's what I choose. And I will not sit here and debate my religion with you because there's nothing you
mm-hmm.
can say to change my mind. Do you get what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So, okay. So, anyways, we're going to talk about the Masters next week. So, that's the topic. One of the topics, we'll have another one. I'll probably
mm-hmm.
just randomly say
yeah,
it on the show.
We're not talking about golf. We're talking about, you know, the Masters of God.
No, not golf, you guys. Yes.
People are thinking out there, you know. Gotta make sure everything's
yes,
straightened
yes.
out. Yeah.
Let me see. So, okay, so like I said, if you guys want to go further down this rabbit hole, make sure you guys can go on Google, look the topic up, put it in your computer, and do your research yourself. Go down that rabbit hole further, and you can even hit us on Twitter and say, you know what, look what I found. This is what this is that. Oh, you know, or something that maybe I said wrong, correct me. Guess what? To me, the show is a learning. It's a learning. It's like a classroom for me. So
exactly.
If I'm wrong, then correct me so that I can be right so I won't say something else wrong to somebody. So I'm never
mm-hmm.
that person with the ego. I'm not too big to be corrected, trust me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely want to encourage you guys to do your research. We're going to move on to our topic number two. We're going to talk about, in my book, Infamous, we basically, I basically wrote a book about my life. But in that book, I also talked about a lot of paranormal experiences that I have experienced. And with that being said, it was very hard, let this be known, it was very hard for me to talk about it because I didn't want it to be. I was, before this book and before Dog Radio, anybody who knew me, I was very hush-hush about my private life, okay? So for me to write a book was a big thing because I've always been like, we could talk about other people's problems, but we would never discuss mine. So for me to write this book was a big step for me coming out. No, really. And
absolutely.
To talk about paranormal, I totally never talked about that to certain people. They never knew. So this was big for me, you guys. Just to let you guys know, people out there listening, this is a huge step for me, so I'm proud of myself. Because people think you're crazy when you start talking about stuff like that. So I'm going to go to James.
Yes, ma'am.
James, what chapter did you read that kind of stood out to you in the paranormal department of Infamous, of my book?
Well, it led me right to it. I told you this.
Well, tell your story. What happened? Actually, what happened?
Oh, this
actually,
is this
a
is
paranormal
the truth.
Story.
I swear to God, this happened. I swear my life and my family's lives and everybody. But you know, I'm so blunt that you know, of course, I'm telling the truth. Anyway,
yes.
So I bought the book, of course. And I was like, ooh, okay, this is intriguing. I really want to look more into this book because I haven't really had the time to really read it. So I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to find the chapter in this book. But what I'm going to do, I'm just going to blindly open to it and see if I can find, you know, because I realize when you open, like, the front book, you know, the front part of the book, there's no table of contents. It's just straight up,
mm-hmm.
okay, here's the chapters,
mm-hmm.
now read them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I said, okay, I'm gonna open the page and see if I find it. And I kid you not, page 50. I opened to page 50. I did not know that it started at page 50. The chapter's called In the Dark. And I'm reading this. I'm like, cause I didn't know, cause it could mean something else, you know, in the dark. And I'm reading. I was like, oh my God, this is her paranormal experience. Oh, this is some of the things she said on the show. you know, on other shows and this, that, and the third. And then I'm saying, ah, that's probably just a coincidence. I bet you if I go the chapters before this, she probably talked about paranormal and the other chapters too. I look back, I read it, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was the first page I opened to, and it was this page. Now, mind you, to make it even more eerier, I'm a security guard. I work in a cemetery. I opened this book.
Of course he does. He's a vampire, right?
Yeah, I'm a vampire. I turned to this chapter, and I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, wow. And there's nothing else until later on in the book about a few other, you know, paranormal stories. But I just find it so fascinating that I blindly just opened the book. You know, I had no idea that's where it was. I just opened it, boom, just opened it like nothing, and there it was, right to that chapter, page 50.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading, I'm like, holy crap, that is so, like, it was cool, but yet it was eerie at the same time.
Right.
I thought that was so awesome. And as I was reading it, you know, it was just like how you talk on the air in there, you put it right to the pen and paper. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Awesome. It's just like I hear your voice when I read this book, which is good. That's what you want with this type of autobiography type of books.
Right.
You don't want to sound like, and then I went here, and then, oh, my God. You know, it was actually, you know, very, very articulate and everything, just like how you were on here. And it's so awesome, like some of the stories, which you mostly have said. But there was one that to me, it kind of could have been paranormal in
mm-hmm.
a sense, because it's where, okay, page 143.
Oh, my gosh.
I marked this down. Yeah, you know, hey, I don't mess around. You were talking about when you're singing, and it was some event you were at.
Yeah.
And there was this man in dark shades that was in the back. You were performing.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That
just kind of,
you
know,
yes.
That
stood out to me, too.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
guys. Okay. Oh. And... Well, okay.
That was paranormal. Oh, God.
Okay. And I'm going to read it. It caught me. Now, mind you, it just stood out. When I read this, I had goosebumps. And this is, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to read this. It's just one quick paragraph. Okay. Okay, way in the back, I could see, this is in there, obviously talking. Way in the back, I could see a man in dark shades and a suit standing against the wall. He stood there the whole performance alone, watching silently. After we finished, he approached me and said, "You are the one. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
And you should sing more than they let you." Because she's with, she
yes.
was with her other, you know, her
yes.
other,
mm-hmm.
her other
mm-hmm.
peeps on, in the group.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
smiled and said thank you and walked away. Till this day, I don't know who he was, and
mm-hmm.
I never saw him again. I didn't
mm-hmm.
tell my group members about it, and I was like,
right. And you know what I noticed about that night? I looked to see, because see, all of our label heads were there, like our Russ Regan and, like, you know, the owners, our art team, and everybody who was going to put our group together. Everybody was there to watch us. We had just got signed, so we had to do a performance for the label.
Okay.
And that guy was not interacting with nobody. And when I was on stage, you know when you're on stage and the lights are in your face, but I can see in the back of the room and my eyes went directly to him. And he was just standing in black shades on and that suit, and he was just there. He wasn't interacting with nobody. And when he walked off, he still didn't, when he came up, he didn't interact with nobody that night. So I was like, who is he? And when he came up to me, it was just like soon as I got off stage, like he was waiting, and he just pulled me to the, like, pulled my arm and said, whispered that in my ear, and it was just chilling that, to this day, I'm just like, oh, my God, who was that? But at that moment, I didn't think that. I wasn't thinking nothing paranormal. When I was young, and trust me, I wasn't on it. I was just, like, so sweet. I was just like, okay, yay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. But when I look back now, I'm like, that's the guy that stood there the whole performance looking just straight ahead. And when I got off, he let Don go before me. Don went before me. Corvon went next. And then I came off. and he said what he said. And years later, the producer, the manager, too, in that group, told me we did a studio session. And actually, Nicole Murphy was there, too, because her daughter, one of her daughters, sing. And my old manager actually was producing some stuff with her. With, you know, he's developing her daughter. And this was maybe 3 years ago. And he cried, and we stopped our session. And he said, I need to talk to you. And he said, I should have known. He said, you were the one. He said the same thing.
Wow.
And he, what he meant by that, yes, but what he meant by that was I was in my group, and I didn't really go deep down that rabbit hole in my group situation. If you look at that chapter, I kind of left a lot of stuff out because when
I talk
about my group members get touchy, and I get phone calls, okay? And they don't want me to talk about a lot of stuff. So I kind of kept it respectful in that sense. But in my group, it was a lot of up and down for me because I was basically a lot, I was picked on. And I was the one, I had a lot of talent. I'm the one who put the group together. But for some reason, I was overshadowed. You get what I'm saying? Like, I was more put down because I was in school and I was going to college. And you get what I'm saying? And I'm balancing my career and traveling. So it was just like, you know, I was kind of hated on a little bit by my, like, you know, my manager.
By your peers.
And he apologized 3 years ago, and he said he's sorry. And he was like, you were the one. And he was like, I don't know why I didn't see that. You were the one. And he's and I was like, it's okay. Because I'm the only one out of all of them that's stuck in music. And that's still writing and doing my thing. And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he was just like, wow, I can't believe that. But anyways, definitely a good story. James, I'm happy that you brought that up. But go ahead.
Hey, you're welcome.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing with the same pace. It kind of really stood out to me as well because it was like, I'm going to be honest, it was like literally what you see on movies where the devil comes to the great star. They sign your name on the back. It came across just like that to me. I was like, wow. It really creeped me out. It creeped me out. Like, this dude was really something different. So that
was
stood out to me.
And it was almost
so
kind of like a little, like where he was already putting in my head, like, you know when people get in your ear, when they say don't let people get in your ear, where something was whispering, he whispered in my ear, and that made me start thinking, wait a minute, I am better than this person. That's how I start thinking. I started thinking, like, in our group, we had a lot of fights, and who's going to sing this, and who's going to write that, and if you look at that record, my name and the other girl's name is all over the record. We probably wrote half the record, okay? And anyways, it was basically like something was telling me you are better than what they're saying and don't let them, you get what I'm saying? But it was still kind of dark. I don't understand I don't know.
Yeah.
It was eerie to me. Right.
It was very dark, even the way you described it in the book itself and the way it came across, like, literally, in my mind, it was literally like the room got black and literally Satan himself whispering in your ear and said, hey, hey, hey. And it was just so intense that I was like, I'm gonna lie to you. Once that part, read that part, I kind of set the book down like, whoa, that's a little bit too much there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I set it down. I'm like, wow.
It did.
Wow.
And there. I thought of this, too, for what you said a couple of weeks ago, your encounter with that guy in black in that store. Is that different from this situation?
I can't talk about that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll come to you next week. And we move forward.
Your book is definitely if you don't have the book out there, go get the book.
Yeah,
I agree with y'all. You know, it's so many parts of this book where it's like having the one-on-one conversation with you. I mean, the way that you wrote this book is how did you actually talk. And that's a beautiful thing because, like James said, you can actually hear, you know, your voice telling the story as, you know, we're being entertained with the words and the stories you share. The one I love is on page 52 when you talk about being at Mama's house and seeing the guy staring at the picture.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, kind of takes me back to, you know, like the things I used to see when I was younger around that time, you know. But it's crazy, you know, how you ran across this picture. What was it, on the mantle?
And I never noticed it as right at that point, because there's a lot of pictures on that mantle. You know, Grandma House got everybody on the mantle, and she had this one picture of a man. And I asked her, who was this man? I was a little girl, and she said, "That's her husband." And I was like, "That's the guy that I see."
Wow.
Like, you know, that's the guy that I was. And it's weird because when I think about those nights, when I would lay in bed, it was almost like I was observing him, and I wasn't scared. Like, I was literally to the point where it got so, he would be there so much that I was just observing him. And it was like almost like I didn't care that everybody would sleep, because everybody would go to sleep, and I was up. And I knew that it was going to happen, or I was going to see something. And I would just be sitting there, like, almost waiting. Like, it was, like, fun a little bit, but when you're scared, but it's fun, one of those things. And I was observing him, like, what is he doing? Like, why is he just... And he had a glow. When we talk about auras, it was like an outline. It wasn't a full, like, a human, like, body, but I can see it was more like an outline of him. So I could still see, it was like translucent, but I could still see features in a body. Do you get what I'm saying? So it was like I could still see his features, but it wasn't like me or you standing there just in the flesh. It was more of, you know, like his, you know, the ghost. But I can see him. I can see his face and how his features look. It was more like that, but see-through, if you want to say. I don't know.
Right.
Very interesting, though, because as a kid, you think that, you know, you have, like, make-believe friends, right? When kids always, we play. Like, I used to play with my Barbie dolls for hours by myself. Like, I would sit in a room, and they'd just be talking to each other. Oh, something. My mom would come in there and was like, "Who are you talking to?" "Oh, I'm talking to my buddy." And I would go for hours just like, Barbie house, and she got the Corvette. Like, I would make up so many stories of what Barbie did, right? So kids are very creative, trust me. But I knew the difference as a kid from make-believe and spirit world. Like, I did understand that. I did understand what I was saying was real. I knew that it was real.
That kind of stood out, because my gift is the same as that, where I see spiritual things, and I've done it since I really could relate to that, because I've done it since I was a young child, and I still have that gift to this day. And the thing about it is, it's scary, but you almost anticipate it, because it's like a movie that you know is going to happen, you know,
right.
And that's what it was, and it really kind of touched home with me, because it, you know, people have gifts, and you know, when you're in your own self and your own spirit and you're going through your own thing, you sometimes believe it's only you. But to have someone write it down and, like you say, hear into your voice in your head explaining pretty much your experience as a child really related to me on a different level, because it's like, damn, I'm not the only one that went through these things, you know, that really experienced these things. You know, so the one with also your best friend's sister.
Yes.
That kind of resonated with me as well.
Which one? Oh, and
the girl.
And Tree. Yes.
Yes. That
I've made her another name for her, but yes. Yes.
But the thing about it resonated with me, because my first real experience, I saw him as a child, but my friend's brother died of cancer. And I went to his funeral, and my mom said the strange thing about it was I had my hand out, and I was like 10, and I see him.
Fix your mic.
Your mic is bad again.
Yeah.
Fix your mic.
One small step for man.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
My experience was that I went to my friend's funeral, who he died of cancer.
Yeah.
And I was standing at the funeral with my mom. My mom said it really tripped her out, because I was holding his hand, but he was in the box, but he was also standing next to me, and I was 10, and I was holding his hand. Wow. You know, and so that type of experience really resonated with me because I've had those experiences all my life like that. So that really touched home with me on a different level.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Mind-boggling. So.
Wow. Yeah, I thought it was very, oh, God. That, I don't know why I was scared of her versus other spirits.
Yeah, right.
I think because she was the closest to me. She was standing super close. And I've never seen them that close to the point where it's just me and them and my sister asleep. So I'm like, it's just me and her, and she's too close. And the thing that I didn't notice is she was there maybe at the mortuary when she knew that we came, and she had to know that because that's why she came and saw my sister to say bye. That's what I got from it. But my mom, is. Let me tell you something about my mother. My mom found it very interesting for me as a kid that I wasn't scared of the dead. And she would say, like when we came back from the mortuary that night, I don't know if I wrote that in the book, but I put, I did do this. She was ran over by a car, a truck, an icing truck. And she was trying to go to the icing truck. That's how she died. But I was very curious. A girl was like, almost like our age. She was our age. She was my sister's age. She was younger than me. So I'm just like, wow, I'm still understanding death at this time. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We're in the second, third grade. So I'm still just, like, putting in my head, like, oh, death. I thought we lived forever. Like, honestly, I came to this world, thought we were vampires forever. So I didn't know that, wow, we died. So at that age is when I really knew totally about, like, I start really realizing death. Like, I didn't really know death. Like, I was in the third grade then. But anyways, I basically, when we went to the mortuary, her hands, they tried to cover up the arm for the skid marks that were on her arm from the tires.
Eesh.
And I lifted up her arm, and I saw, and I was showing my mom, I said, Mom, look. And I was just, like, touching her, though. But I was, like, you know, just observing. I wasn't scared. It wasn't no disrespect. But I was more like, I'm a kid, but I wasn't scared. And my mom was like, no, don't do that. But I was, as a kid, I'm looking back now like, oh, my gosh, why did you, who does that? Like, I was not afraid. Like, a lot of people are afraid of dead people. They'll be like, oh, no. But I was
it's
a
curiosity.
Little girl, and I'm like, I picked up her arm, and, like, I saw the skate marks on there, and I was like, wow. It was just really hard for me because I'm looking at somebody that's little like me, and I realized at that moment that I can be like her. Do you get what I'm saying? And I was more interested, like, wow. And it was like, I don't know. It was weird. It was weird, but I wasn't afraid, put it like that.
The whole
so,
pink and pink
right.
got
so,
me.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said an all pink, had the baby dressed up in all pink with a pink casket got me. It was like, wow, you know?
Right. Wow.
And it, I mean, there was something that you wrote that really stood out to me from that same chapter when you said, still to this day, whenever someone I know dies, they always come to me in my dreams. I don't understand why they come or what they want, but I'm guessing it is to say goodbye and let me know everything is okay.
Yes.
They
always, I don't know if you guys read the part where I talked about my mom's ex, the one that used to abuse her sometimes. I don't know if you guys read that part, but the way he died, remember I said he got ran over by a train and he was basically destroyed. And he used to come to me in my dream. I don't know if you guys read that part, but he used to come to me in my dream like a lot, and to the point where I didn't understand why is he coming to me in my dream, and I was like, I was doing movies by then, and he would come to me in my dream, so finally, I found out what it was, and he was saying bye, and he was also saying sorry, because as a kid, when I talk about Black, he's Black in the book, actually, I named him Black. Black is the one, in my eyes, when I was little, I looked at him like he was a devil, and he scared me. Like, I was terrified of this man, where he didn't hurt us, but to me, if you're hurting my mom, you're hurting, like, I wrote something in the book where I basically, one night, I literally grabbed my sister. Like, I was trying to figure out how I'm going to get my sister out of the room. Like, because I heard him, like, you know, choking my mom. So I'm sitting there like, wow, like, how are we going to get out of this room? You know, and I'm crying. And it was just, like, weird because it would happen, and then the next day it was like, oh, nothing happened, you know? And to me, looking back on it, that person had a lot of demons on him. He had a lot of demons. Absolutely. And if you look in his eyes, if you knew him, you could see them. Now I'm looking back, I'm like, wow, just his look. Mm-hmm. This man was like, oh, mm-hmm. God. But I forgive him now, and he came back to tell me he was sorry. But he kept coming to me. Because it's something that he probably knew that bothered, like, I really scared this girl. And he came back and he apologized, and I accept this apology. But he also brought somebody with him, and he had a lady with him in my dream. It was all black on, and I couldn't figure out who she was. And I asked my mom, and I said, Mom, it's a lady with him. I don't know who she is. She has all black, a veil on. I don't know who she is. I didn't know the whole story, what happened. I thought he just died in the car. And I said, Mom, there's a baby in the lady's lap. I can't see them, but I see the baby and I see her. He said, well, Mika, that's my name. She said, well, he died. He was basically taking his girlfriend home, which he had a girlfriend he stayed with. But this was the one he was messing with. And he basically, they were driving. He was taking her home. And when he hit the train track, he got hit by the train. It killed her and him. The girl was pregnant. So that's that was the baby that I was seeing, right? And my mom was looking at me with her mouth open, like, "How do you know that?" So she told me the story. So, yeah. So I figured out why, like, okay, well, they are together, or you know, they're in the other life, they came together. But she would never show her face because I didn't know her. So for some reason, it was always all black on. She had all black, black veil, black dress, everything black.
Crazy.
Right.
And they died together. They died together.
Right. Yes,
so,
and they were in the same car. I didn't know the car. I didn't know the car they were in. And my mom said, what car were they in? I said, it was like a truck. And it was the type of truck with the back out, the hatch, whatever you call it. And she said, yes, it's the same car. So they were in the same car, like an afterlife. It was very interesting.
Yeah, wow.
And I talk about
that in my book. That is interesting. That is very interesting because when you say he kept coming to you in a dream and trying to apologize and they were together, you know, he couldn't cross over or she couldn't cross over because he had to resolve his issue. So she was trapped with him.
Exactly.
She was trapped with him.
It was like he was almost going to everybody that he hurt. You're right. And I felt I'm with you, Colbert, and I feel that that's what it was. He could not because he kept coming. He kept coming. So the final night when I said I forgave him, and he wouldn't talk. He talked because you guys have to understand, sometimes, most of the time, the dead talk telepathically. Like when every time my brother will come, he don't talk. When we're laughing and joking, he's talking to me through my mind. We talk like that. Mm-hmm. They talk like that. They don't sometimes talk with their mouths. Like it's not like that. And it's weird, but that's what happened. That's my experiences. But we know each other the same. So it's very deep.
So the thing about it is, and that's why I said when you said that, that kind of touched me because she could have been like an innocent in the position because an innocent in the position of death, but because she's attached to him and he's have done so many, she can't cross over and go home, and the baby can't cross over. So he has to resolve that issue for them to go so they can cross, or is she going to be ever forever? She's going to be stuck in limbo. She's going to be stuck in limbo with him. And that's why she had to. That's why you saw her in the back, and in so many words, like that authoritative figure pushing him to resolve these issues, so she can go.
It was some stuff in the book I had to take out because it could probably end up being I didn't want to. I can't. It's crazy. But when I had to go back and do certain that chapter and that stuff, I had to reread to certain people that's involved to come to okay it. Because it's incriminating. And I was just like, but these people have passed on, so it's okay for me to talk. So I was given the okay to talk about it because they already passed on. But it was a lot of other stuff I had to keep out because it's a lot. But when I look back at everything that was going on, if you read that chapter about black, that chapter was very paranormal too. Because if you notice, I talked about all the people around me that was his friends, because see, Black was a big drug dealer in Long Beach, and everybody that we knew around us was getting executed to the point where these, when you're the big person, like the mob or something, and they were coming for the big heads, where these people I would see one day, and the next day we found like one of our main people that's always around, they're tied up and like executing the back of their car. You get what I'm saying? So as a kid, these are the things that, like, you get what I'm saying? So growing up for me was like, whoa, like, it was like a sweet and bitter, because I was a very smart girl. So a lot of things my mom would keep from me, but I would hear them talking, and I'm nosy. So I discern it, and I know what's going on, and that's what. But she would keep it from me, but I would still know what's going on. I know what's going on. And these people are not coming back. They're disappearing. And you know what I'm saying? You know, when a kid come in the room, you stop talking. Go to the room. Because we probably grown before his business, whatever. So I would probably go in the room, act like I'm going in the room, but I still listen. Because I want to know. Because I felt like, what if they come back and get us? What if they come in here and get him? Because Black is wanted. Like, Black is, like, one of the main ones. You get what I'm saying? And I used to fear, like, wow. I didn't realize how many demons that I was around then. Like, really? Really?
That's fascinating.
I mean, it's really terrifying as a kid. Oh, gosh. But I'm so super... I'm happy that I have my experiences, because it's made me into the person I am, which makes me very fearless, because I feel that I've been through a lot and that I can endure more, even pain. Like pain, I can take pain where some people cry about certain stuff. Like I can take some of the worst pain and it don't bother me. And I think that's me, because I make myself so strong. And you know what I'm saying? It's like a mental thing for me where I can just make it go away. It doesn't bother me. So I'm happy for my experiences, and I embrace them. So.
Plus, they also make you aware of higher things. You know what I'm saying? It makes you ultra-sensitive to other things that you need to be. It was training, literally training for what's to come.
Right.
Absolutely right.
That is true. Have a call on hold.
Yes.
Huh?
We have a caller.
Yeah,
231. Okay, so we're going to go to our caller. I want to just say my favorite chapter for this book was Angels and Demons, was my favorite chapter. That one was my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I read them.
Because it was the last of the chapter, and it was the one that I was going to not talk about, because it explains my exit out of the porn industry.
Yes.
And everybody always asked about why I left, and I never really gave an explanation. And I explain in so many words without saying everything. I explain why I left.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Go cop that book, Amazon.
Yeah.
If you wanted to know, go check it out. There it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great plug right there. Leave him in suspense if wanting more.
Who's our caller on the line?
Area code 231. You're on the line. Area code 231. You there? Hello?
You're on Vamp City. Hi, 231.
Nothing.
Oh, they don't want to talk. Okay.
I guess not.
Yeah, the first one.
Don't be shy, 231. Right. You can talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't be shy.
We got Joseph on the line.
Hey.
So, Joseph.
Hello there, India. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day weekend, you and the rest of the Dollhouse family, as well as a great President's Day. I wanted to say Saturday, but your other show wasn't on that day. But anyway, great show tonight. I've been meaning to ask you, since you were talking about the paranormal, if anyone from your show had visited the city of Chicago or heard about or seen any of the ghosts of those from the gangster 1920s that were the victims of St. Valentine's Day massacre by any chance? I'm just asking because...
Oh, that's perfect. We can hand that one off to Cobra Joseph. Cobra, I'm sure. You know,
yeah, I'm from Chicago.
I'm actually from
Chicago. I've never seen any ghost of about the Valentine massacre thing of the sort. But I know in parts of Chicago is well known, like the old houses of Al Capone. There's been a lot of paranormal activities. A lot of the what they call flop houses, or where they did a lot of gambling and prostitution.
Yeah.
A lot of people were seeing dead prostitutes walking around through the alleyways where they were murdered in that area. You know, the thing about it is, my biggest experience, people like those who died in the St. Valentine massacre, or people like Al Capone, they knew their fate, so they don't hang around. It's the ones that were extremely killed on a high level, like a prostitute's throat slit. That they hang around, they wonder. So you will see things like that in certain parts of Chicago, especially in the downtown area where they go to call the old factory areas. You'll see there's a lot of paranormal and hunting or hauntings down in those areas.
Yeah. Eventually, later on, he got sent to Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually... when he was in his nice big cell, because I visited that place, it has a lot of paranormal activity. And when I went to visit there, he had this humongous cell. I mean, it had his, you know, nice bed, got the, you know, old school radio, you know, that arch type of old school radio, you know, dresser drawers, everything. There were stories that he actually would hear voices, and it drove him crazy. And the story is, it might have been one of those victims from the St. Valentine's Day massacre that came back to haunt him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drove him nuts. It was just fascinating that story happened to take place, because where the Eastern State Penitentiary was one of the oldest, if not the oldest, prison
in the United States.
Yeah, well, in the United States, period, actually. Yeah, actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the correction. Yeah, it's a huge, I mean... It's on a city block, and it's such a fascinating thing. And I got orbs in my pictures that I took, a couple of them. Like, I would take the same picture, and it'd be nothing there. And then another picture, there's orbs. And then there was another picture I got where, from a far distance, you see, like, a silhouette of somebody. And yet the same picture, not even half a second later, no one there. So...
Well, but... And also, it was well known too that Al Capone and a lot, especially Lucky Lucioni, they were well believed in gypsies. They believed in talking to psychics. They believed in that. They truly believed in that, because that's part of the Sicilian way, gypsies and psychics. So they believed in that. So they believed in a lot of paranormal things themselves. So I can believe that he was haunted.
yes, he was. And it's just funny that he died because he was afraid of needles. Because I think he had, was it polio or something? What was it?
Oh, he had a sexual disease.
Yeah, right?
It was gonorrhea, I believe.
It was gonorrhea.
I thought it was syphilis.
Yes, I thought.
Either one of them. I thought it was
gonorrhea.
It could have been syphilis.
Both stuck.
Probably syphilis, because that's the one you can die from.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fascinating. Big bad Al Capone, afraid of a needle.
Yep.
Yeah.
He only had to take a shot, he would have been good.
Yeah. Born in Brooklyn. That's where he came from.
Yep.
And then went to Chicago.
Yep.
Well, yeah, thanks. I hope that answered your question.
Joseph.
Yes, Jose.
Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So.
What
is that? God. I
can't.
I just, yeah, and you know what? All my vampires are on the same thing, because I know what you guys are laughing at, and you guys are so stupid. Anyway.
Stop it.
Why are vampires being naughty? Oh,
but it is late
God.
At night.
Anyways.
What do you think?
Anyways, guys. So we're going to. Oh, gosh. How much time do we have, Trevor?
Two and a half.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to. Definitely, so next week we're going to talk about masters. We want to talk about some of the masters, who these people are. But the main master, we all know who he is. He was a master here on Earth. Yes, we're going to talk about, let me see, should I name
she didn't
the
get
second
that one.
Couple?
She didn't get that one.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear you.
You didn't get that. I said, you didn't
I
get
didn't
that one. I said, you know, the main master was, I said, Shonuff from The Last Dragon.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear you.
Say that.
Oh, God. Please do not bring that up. Oh, God.
Oh, great movie.
That is so crazy.
Yeah,
best
we're gonna
movie
do
ever.
Our final thoughts of, like, that we want to put out there for all of our listeners. Cobra, go ahead.
Okay, my final thought is always do your research. Don't be afraid. And like I say all the time, man, don't be afraid to just walk in the sun. There's nothing out there that can touch you as long as you walk in the sun with the right one. I'm good.
Okay. My final thought for the show is definitely I want to just put a lot of positive vibes out there to people and just try to be more fearless. Don't be fearful of things that you don't understand. If you don't understand it, then try to figure out how to understand it. So I definitely want to encourage people to continue to wake up and continue to be awakened and dig deeper for things that you want to know about, okay? And don't be scared. And I always say this every week, don't worry about what people think about you because people will always have their thoughts and, you know, their whatever they might think about, you know, what you do and who you are, but it don't matter. At the end of the day, if you're happy with yourself and what you do, that's all that matters. So that's what I'm going to leave with you guys, and I love you guys so much. So that's what I'm going to leave tonight.
Yeah. Pass the plate.
Yes, all I got to say is just be good to one another. Keep your head up. Every dark night, there's a brighter day. You know, and let go of grudges. They're unhealthy. You know, and let go of the dead weight. Keep moving forward, baby. Salute. See y'all next week.
That's right.
See y'all next week. Vampires, yes. We're going out. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, well, we are going out. The one thing real quickly, guys, keep doing what you got.
Oh, yeah, James, we didn't give his final thought. Look,
yeah.
Oh, God. Go ahead, James. I'm
but
sorry.
My final thought is, while you're on this planet, do what you got to do because you never know. You know, seize every day like it's your last, but don't live it like scared. When I say it like that, I don't mean like, oh my God, is this going to be the day? I mean, just give it all that you got every day. You know, that's what I do. That's what we do here on Dollhouse Radio. And trust me, it reaps rewards. And be patient. Patience is the huge key. Patience and not letting outsiders or even people inside try to change your mind and say, oh, why are you wasting your time? Or why you do this? Why you do that? Just keep on track and keep doing what you're doing because, trust me, it's going to pay off in the end.
That's right. Research, guys.
Pass the plate.
That's right. Where's my money? I'm sorry.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, vampire.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Nighty-night.
Show up. Stranger inside of my bed, but I can get you outside of my head, though.